Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we thank you for taking time out of your evening to participate. Amen. As we move forward, couple of things we want to get out of the way is making sure that you mute your device while you're on or while the speaker is talking, so that we don't hear any noises in the background. Of course, I know you heard some noise on the background on my end, but anyhow, making sure that you mute your device. Amen. Also, we'd like to let you know that there is archives you can go to share with family and friends of the speakers that have been on, that they would be a blessing to those. Amen. If there's a time that we need to share the gospel, it is today. So you can go to the archives and select any one of the speakers or anything that you would like to hear and share with a friend. Amen. It may be a blessing, and you just
need. Even if I have to preach to an empty airway, or my husband and the chairs around our kitchen table, I'm going to still accept the message of the Lord. Think of, just relax and take in the message for this evening. I am an educator, but I want to just talk. I want to talk around the table to other believers, to folks that are my friends and that are have the same heart. So I'm putting aside most of my notes. They seem very extensive and research worthy and whatever. And I just want to talk. The title for today's lesson was, or is, what is Pentecost Sunday? And Pentecost Sunday is the Sunday that falls after Easter. And I know that if you have been raised in the Christian church, everyone's excited about Easter or Resurrection Sunday. But then after Pentecost, and there's not as much teaching in many churches about Pentecost and what happens, what the significance was of Pentecost. So I want to begin this lesson by stressing the significance of Pentecost. The scripture that we're looking at is Acts chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. And in Acts chapter 1, verses 3 to 8, it says that Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Father's gift of the Holy Spirit, from whom they would receive power to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. That's Acts chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. I want you to hold on to the idea that the Holy Spirit is a gift, The Holy Spirit was, is, and will be. The Holy Spirit did not just appear after the resurrection. The Holy Spirit was present, Old Testament, New Testament, and contemporary time. Okay. Father God, we praise you and we thank you, dear Lord, for this evening, dear Lord. I thank you, Father God, for those that are online and that are on the telephones and the airwaves, the computers, the laptop, Lord. Father God, for those that are going to, that may listen because the message has been shared by a friend or looked in the archive, in our archive library, Father God. I praise you and thank you, Father God, for this message. I thank you, Lord, that you would direct it, that I was sensitive to the Holy Spirit and respond as you would have me to respond, Father. In Jesus' name, we praise you. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that the word would be plain, that it would be simple and easy to comprehend, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you prepare our minds and our hearts, Father God, to receive not just from Suzanne, Father God, but from one another, Father God, and most importantly, from the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' sweet and holy name, amen, and amen, and amen.
Amen.
So, talking about Pentecost Sunday and what it is, and I told you to hold on to the idea that the Holy Spirit is a gift, and it's a time that Christian churches around the world celebrate. No, they don't celebrate like we say that Easter and Christmas are the highest holy days. Yes, they are. They celebrate the birth of Christ, and they celebrate the resurrection of Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. But there's also Pentecost, and Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit was given to us as a gift,
Amen.
To live with us, to live within us, to commune with us. And we'll go into that a little bit deeper. Let me give you a little bit of history, historical reference. Pentecost happened at the same time as the festival of Shavuot. And Shavuot means weeks, the festival of weeks. It's a Jewish holiday that occurs on the sixth day of the Hebrew month of Sivan. It's late May or early June on our calendar. It's also called the Festival of Harvest, and it's also called the Days of First Fruit. So why is it called the Festival of Harvest and the Days of First Fruit? Well, let me tell you. Now, keep in mind that Jesus was crucified, and they hurried the crucifixion so that he wouldn't be, I should say, hanging there for Passover. Remember? When we go back to the story, Good Friday,
Saturday and then the rest of Saturday. So they hurried up things because Passover was coming, and Passover was a holiday where the Hebrews, the Israelites, would come back to Jerusalem, like Mecca, for those who have a knowledge of the Muslims, they come back to celebrate. So they're celebrating the Passover, okay? Then we have the Passover when the children were spared. Then we have Shavuot, which happens 50 days after the Passover, and Shavuot is the Feast of Harvest, and that's when they celebrate the day that God gave the Torah to Moses and the Israelite nation, when they were assembled at Mount Sinai. So it's a celebration of that, that is part of a culture that is still celebrated today. Note, it happened 50 days after Passover, okay? Shavuot commemorates that anniversary. So what did they do when they came back to Jerusalem? They would bring their first fruit offering. They would bring their tithes, their offerings to the house to ask for a blessing so that the rest of the harvest would be plentiful. So the rest of the harvest would be marketable, okay? So that they would make the money that they hoped to make on what was coming, still to come. So the first fruits were offered up, were prayed over and offered up. Remember, we're talking about an agricultural community, a community. I'm sorry. We're talking about an agricultural community, a community that is very social, a community that is bound by history, bound by tradition, bound by rituals. So they would all come back, and it became like a reunion, because they were coming back in. So for those three times when they came back, isn't it interesting? And it's not by coincidence that all of these things happened at these times. How do we know that they happen? Not only from the Bible, but you have it in historical records of where these things happen. These festivals took place, still take place. Mm-hmm. These the gatherings that took place of people from all over everywhere came back to pay homage, came back to make an offering. I want you to hear me when I say this, that even in the New Testament, looking at the Old Testament, we can see that the harvest was plentiful. The harvest was plentiful. Now, there are other things that we should know when we talk about the Old Testament. That, and I want you to know, like I said, that the Holy Spirit was, he was there at the beginning. He was, is, and shall be. That if we go back in the Bible, because sometimes our churches are teaching that the Holy Spirit didn't come about until the New Testament, when Jesus died, then he sent the Holy Spirit, as if he had been hiding out until the time of the resurrection. But there's evidence in Old Testament, of course, that the Holy Spirit was active and an active participant in the events and the stories and even in creation. The first, in Genesis, we see where the Holy Spirit of God moved on the earth. It was that Ruah breath where he blew on the spirit of the surface of the earth. Okay, in Genesis, we know in Numbers, when Moses pleaded for help, when he was overwhelmed by the task that the Lord had given him, he pleaded for help, and the Lord answered his prayer, answered his request, and leaders were selected from Israelites, of the Hebrew people, and the Spirit was poured over them in order to give them discernment as they fled and to discern with ease and ease Moses' burden. In Judges, the Holy Spirit equipped to go. He equipped us to go to war. Think about when we talk about Joshua at the Battle of Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, that he marched around the city seven times, and then he blew his trumpet, and the walls came tumbling down. That is a miracle. That is a Holy Spirit-type miracle. When we talk about it and Goliath, where grown men and army men could fight Goliath, but David was nothing more than a slingshot. The Lord uses things that look like they are impossible and people that look like they're not equipped to prove who he is.
Amen.
And what he does. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. He uses people that have a past, people that have a questionable past, and he builds their confidence. In the Old Testament, that was Jephthah, where he built the confidence. And he was able to compensate, or with Elijah, or the anointing spirit that he gave to do whatever you lay your hands to, or the mantle that was transferred from Elijah to Elijah, that calling is bigger. Your calling is bigger than you, and only the Holy Spirit can equip you to handle and to fulfill your calling. Thank you so much. Praise your name, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. It's the Holy Spirit that gives you the power that's in the Spirit, the dunamis power that's spoken of in Micah.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God. Praise God. So let's talk about the New Testament. So where do you see the Holy Spirit in the New Testament? The New Testament, just like in the Old Testament, the Spirit came upon the prophet, where the prophets were able to prophesy. They were chosen. That is a spiritual gift. When we talk about where John the Baptist was leaping in his mother's womb, that he knew that in the spirit who was there. Neither baby could see each other, both babies in the womb, but one sensed it. Assisted because of the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. John the Baptist, it was supposed to New Testament, John the Baptist again prophesied of the first Pentecost, or the Pentecost of the church, the church, the birth of the church. He said that he baptizes with water, but one was coming, that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit. He would baptize with fire. And that's in Matthew 3:11. Jesus confirmed his prophecy with the promise of the Holy Spirit to the disciples in John 14:26. And you know what? There's another place in John, which we talked about. I think Pastor Dixon talked about it last week, about the woman at the well, and I mentioned it a couple weeks ago, about the woman at the well. When he told the woman at the well that you thirst for water, that you have to replenish, but he has the water, the type of water that'll last a lifetime, in
Amen.
Other words.
Amen.
You know, and she would never thirst again. And she wanted to know what that water was. Well, here we are at the well again. We're at the well of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. So we see the Holy Spirit in the form of water. We see the Holy Spirit in the form of fire. Months ago, we talked about the Holy Spirit as oil, as anointed oil, and how it pours and it drops and it flows. It flows so smoothly and evenly, and you can't erase it, that it just reaches out and everything it touches is affected, just like with oil. He showed himself to these men after his death. Jesus showed himself to the disciples after his death on the cross and his resurrection, and he gave convincing proof that he was alive.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, even with doubting Thomas, said, put your fingers in the wounds that are on my hand. If you don't believe it,
mm-hmm.
and it caused Thomas to believe. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Father's gift of the Holy Spirit, from whom they would receive power to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. After Jesus was ascended to heaven, the men, and there were women there also, returned to Jerusalem and joined together in prayer in the upper room, waiting for this gift. What is the gift? But on the day of Pentecost, the 50th day, just as promised, the sound of violent wind filled the house, and tongues of fire came to rest on each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. After the coming of the Holy Spirit, the disciples did not stay in that upper room. They didn't stay basking in the area, in the glory that is our Lord Jesus Christ, in the Father God, the Creator's glory, or enjoying the communion that they had just received in the Holy Spirit. But they burst out. Mm-hmm. They went out as they had been directed to tell the world. And this was the beginning of the church as we know it. Amen?
Amen.
There were an estimated 120 pilgrims that received the Holy Spirit that day, the spoken tongues and other languages. Remember, I said pilgrims because we had people, the Jewish people that came from all over, all walks of life, all areas that returned to this area, speaking different languages themselves possibly, to celebrate Shavuot. Some of those people celebrated and received the Holy Spirit instead. Are we making the connection? So there was a gathering, there was a harvest at Shavuot, the harvest festival. But the festival was not, the harvest wasn't for the wheat and the rye. The harvest was for those souls that were brought in, that first received the Holy Spirit there on the 50th day after Passover. 50 days after Easter, you may call it. 50 days after the rebirth of Christ. 50 days that people were given the ability to communicate in different languages. People were given, Peter was given the ability to communicate, and his ministry in the name of Jesus, as Jesus had prepared him, went forth. This was the first celebration of the new covenant, which afforded liberty from the law in Jesus Christ. The first celebration of the new covenant. The New Testament is the new covenant. This is the first celebration of the new covenant in the name of Jesus Christ, giving us freedom from the law.
Amen.
Now, what happened when the Holy Spirit came? The apostles were empowered by the Holy Spirit and boldly shared the good news. They shared the teaching. Christ, they minister healing, deliverance, signs,
connection.
The harvest was plentiful, but the laborers were few.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew 9:37. So they went out and they ministered and they healed. They laid hands on the sick.
Mm-hmm.
Crippled people walked. The lame walked.
Praise the Lord.
The blind were able to see. Those who were possessed and oppressed were given freedom. They were set free.
I'm not.
Questions or comments?
Any questions or comments?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I lost you. I got on at 7:30, but I lost you, and I didn't know that you were still on. Just want to know, as far as the Holy Spirit, I noticed that there's not a lot of teaching on the Holy Spirit, and I was wondering why, even though sometimes I talk, I have to include the Holy Spirit in my conversation, because I was noticing that I wasn't including, I said the Father, I talked about the Father, the Son, and then I started including the Holy Spirit in some of my conversation, talking to people also. So I had to really start reading more about the Holy Spirit. So I thank you for this lesson as much as I did here.
Amen, amen. Hopefully it has been recorded. Today we had some technical difficulty at 7, so we got on a little bit late. But if you can probably check the recording when we get off to hear the archives, as my husband said, the archive library, and hear some more. It's just very informal talk tonight, but I agree with you about the Holy Spirit. And people don't, you don't hear as much teaching on the Holy Spirit as, I don't know if it's recent. I know that it's in old churches. When I recommitted my life to Christ, I was going to a Pentecostal church, and at the Pentecostal church, they would, you know, as far as speaking in tongues, and that was the evidence of the Holy Spirit. I don't believe that is the only evidence of the Holy Spirit, but that's how they believed, and that was their teaching. I believe that we need to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because as we get closer and closer to the latter days, we know what's been written, that the Holy Spirit will be removed from us. And I think that, like I was saying, this is such a wonderful time to be alive. If you think about Old Testament folks, didn't have this. They didn't have the teachings of Jesus Christ. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. So we're living in the harvest times. We're living in the abundance, as you know, within the kingdom, in the kingdom history. And we should not be lackadaisical about sharing the word and using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us, and even asking for gifts and learning and understanding those things. We shouldn't be, because we're blessed. We are so blessed. Mm-hmm. And the more that I study about the Holy Spirit, the more I laugh with things. Like, my husband will tell you that like, if he misplaces something, I said, did you ask the Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit for it? The Spirit will show you exactly what it is. And I'm not saying to test the Holy Spirit. It's just that the Holy Spirit is with us and communes with us, and it's a comfortable, sweet time. Like the song, there's a sweet spirit in this place. Have you ever been something, especially with prayer and afterwards? It's like you don't have to say anything. You just feel the Spirit, and you just want to bathe in that. Be baptized in that Spirit, you know, right there. Or when you're in a praise and worship situation, and it's like fire that you can't sit still, that you just want to
you just want to move. And with the Holy Spirit, the presence is awesome.
Amen.
It is awesome, awesome, awesome. Praise God. Any more comments?
Well, I remember when, after I graduated from Ashland Theological Seminary, and, you know, we had a section of the Holy Spirit, and I was in this class, well, I was at this church, and the lady was talking to us as, well, she was having Bible study, and she was talking about the Holy Spirit, and she said, we direct the Holy Spirit. And she kept talking and whatever, and I said to her, well, if we direct the Holy Spirit, why do we need the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit directs us. You know, he's
right.
Our director. That's why God directs the Holy Spirit. And she, I think she was confused about the Holy Spirit. And she was Pentecostal. She came from a Pentecostal church. That's why I was surprised that she was telling the class. But I waited until after the class because I didn't want to embarrass her. Well, I didn't want to get into that conversation. But
yeah,
because sometimes when you tell someone and they're teaching and you feel as though that's not the correct way to teach. So I just waited afterwards. But she said that, I said, well, if the Holy Spirit directs us, why did Jesus leave the Holy Spirit for us? He left the Holy Spirit to direct us. And a lot of times, like you said, your husband said about the Holy Spirit, sometimes when I want to do something or undecided, and the Holy Spirit has told me not to do it or to do it, you know, and then I could see where the Holy Spirit was directing me because maybe something happened and I shouldn't have been at that place. So do you understand what I'm saying? So the Holy Spirit does direct your path. That's one of the gifts that, you know, and we have to be submissive to the Spirit. Because the Spirit doesn't force us. We have to be submissive to the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay,
because the Holy
Spirit. This is Minister Bernice Washington, just in case you don't know who I am, because I'm talking.
Hi.
Okay.
Thank you. The Holy Spirit is our comforter, but the Holy Spirit is our guide.
Amen.
You know, we're compared to sheep. You know, and they say the sheep are dumb animals. They'll wander right into a river or whatever. You know, we need the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, you know, to guide us. And I welcome that. Life is easier.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit came to teach, to lead, to ease our burden, to ease it, to counsel us. Amen.
Amen.
So what is the fruit
Amen.
Of the
Good
Spirit? Yes, go ahead.
Good evening. How's everybody? I greet you all in the name of Jesus. This is Miles. Well,
good
one
good
thing
evening.
That I'd like to say, good evening. My audio's been going in and out for some reason. But one thing I would like to say, I don't know if this was said before, and if it was, please excuse me. If you take the Holy Spirit and you take it back to the Greek, not trying to get too deep, it says parakletos.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And when you go with parakletos, that actually means, in the English, it means helper. Now, yes, the Holy Spirit will guide us, but the Holy Spirit in some instances, won't do it for you, but he will help you and give you the power to do it.
Amen. Amen.
Because
right. He empowers you to do things.
Yes, because if you decide that you got your mind made up, you're not going to do it, the Holy Spirit may not move in that arena of your life that you could do for yourself.
Right.
Too many, I remember when I was in the military, I had a good friend of mine. He said, well, the Holy Spirit's going to take care of that. I said, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be honest with you, Dave, since he was out of Florida. I said, the Holy Spirit ain't going to come down here and take your dirty laundry and wash your clothes. Now, you say you're tired. He'll give you the strength to go do it. But the Holy Spirit ain't going to come down here and wash his clothes for you. So the Holy Spirit will guide you. He will lead you. But a lot of times you got to follow. It will be it to help you, just like in the wintertime. the comforter that you put on your bed, the comforter doesn't actually keep you warm. It's actually your body heat that keeps you warm. It helps to keep you warm by covering you in your own heat. Makes things happen.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen. 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 So the Holy, and I think that we're all on the same page, that the Holy Spirit came as a counselor, a comforter,
a teacher, a guardian,
a guide for guidance. Right. When we pray that we walk circumspectly, we're praying that we walk in a way that's pleasing to the Holy Spirit. When we ask the Lord to order our steps, we're asking the Holy Spirit to go out before us to order our steps. The Holy Spirit is to be like what I keep thinking of these songs. A friend of mine, Holy Spirit should be a friend, like Jesus is a friend. The Holy Spirit is in friendship.
Mm-hmm.
That friendship too. So what does it look like if you have the Holy Spirit? What's the fruit of the Spirit? If I plant a cherry tree in the yard, what kind of fruit should I expect?
Patience, love, apples, and you get an apple tree. You get apples.
So apples gonna present apples. Well, the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is in us, the fruit that comes from us should be spirit, should be of the Spirit as well, evidence of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5:22-23, and I'm using the Voice Bible. I think Pastor Dixon introduced me to, or was it Nixon, introduced me to the Voice translation last week, and I like it. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22-23, and the Voice says, Paul has been preaching about the call of God to freedom, and so he now spells it out. We are done with the demands of the law. Now we are free to live in the Spirit and to be truly right with God. As free people, the Spirit gives us the characteristics of Jesus. So here's the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
We too can freely love, enjoy, and peace.
Mm-hmm.
We have patience along with kindness and faithfulness that can only come from the Father.
Mm-hmm.
We can reflect the goodness of God while being gentle and operating with self-control. For those who follow him and live in the Spirit, these characteristics or fruits are a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
As we grow in the faith, we find that we belong to God and can walk daily in the Spirit. So the fruit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and self-control. Amen.
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 Okay, another thing, as far as speaking, you had said something about speaking in tongues. I know. That's one of the gifts. Everybody doesn't have the gift of speaking in tongues.
No.
You know, the Pentecostal people say that if you're not a true Pentecostal, if you don't speak in tongues, but that's one of the gifts that God gives.
The gift is that you can pray. You can pray for the gift of tongues. And so I think that that may be one of the things if we were. I'm sorry, I was looking for my notes about the gift of tongues. Okay. Well, you can pray for that gift, and you can pray for the other spiritual gifts. You can pray for them, but the Holy Spirit gives them. The Holy Spirit passes them out, hands them out to all kinds of people. Amen. Amen. So the Holy
Amen.
Spirit.
Amen. Now,
yes.
I'm sorry. This is Miles again. Like when they're talking about the speaking in tongues, as you said, Reverend Doctor, that's actually a spiritual gift because they're really divided. The spiritual gifts are really divided into three categories. It's like if you say something, you do something, and you reveal something. And the gifts of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation, that's the one I'm saying. That's just a actual gift of the Spirit. So, yeah, you can be filled with the Holy Ghost and never speak in tongues.
Yeah, this one is
never.
And to
your other point, Reverend Sister, Doctor, when you was talking about, you always kept talking about the Holy Spirit as being a friend. Well, he is a friend because he's a person. The Holy Spirit is classified as a person, as the third person of the Godhead. So he is
right.
He is a person. Like if you remember at the conference about probably about 2-3 years ago when we talked about the Trinity. And then it was brought up that it said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, the Father's a person, the Son's a person, Holy Ghost is a person. They're just three persons in one with three different functions.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, he is a person. So you can continue to talk to him as a person.
Absolutely.
Right. Right.
Absolutely. And you're right about the gift. It's a gift. The gift of tongues. Is one that, what are the communication gifts?
It's prophecy, tongues, and interpretation. Is that what you're trying to get at?
Yeah, I'm looking at my. Yeah,
because he gives some to speak in tongues, some to teach, some to preach. You know?
Yes.
I don't know what this is.
Amen.
You're talking about the fivefold? So what the fivefold ministry says?
Okay. So the Holy Spirit qualifies and restores us. The Holy Spirit qualifies us and restores us, anoints us. It gives us a charge. The Holy Spirit shares in victory with us. It helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us to become our glorious self. The more that we're in the Spirit, the more that we're changed from our broken sinful nature into the person we're supposed to be. So we become our glorious self with the help of the Holy Spirit. We become our new selves. We're still us. It's like new but still you. I'm a new person in Christ. The Holy Spirit helps you fulfill your calling. You cannot fulfill your calling without the Holy Spirit. You'll be tired and exhausted. Working your fingers to the bone without the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit eases burdens and makes those things that you've been called to do doable. When you live by the Spirit, you are not bound by human limitations. The Holy Spirit equips you for battle, for spiritual battle, for victory, and spiritual victory, but also the Holy Spirit equips you for the battle in as we're going into our with your interactions with others and like in the marketplace and so forth. If the Holy Spirit equips you, it gives you the discerning of spirits. The Holy Spirit helps you to know what to say, gives you word of knowledge, words of wisdom, know what to say and when to say it, to prophesy. He's our gift to remind us of Jesus Christ. Remind us that he's a gift from Jesus. Remind us of who we are in Christ. Remind us that it's through Christ that we are saved. As much as you do the will of God, the anointing will be with you.
Amen.
Live an anointed life. Walk not in flesh, but in the Spirit. Remember, we are human beings having a spiritual experience. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Any questions or comments?
Amen.
Next week, are we going? Because I noticed you started at 7:30 today. Are we going to start at 7:30 or 7 o'clock?
7 o'clock
next week. Okay, just wanted to know because when I got on, you had just started. Okay, and that was 7:30. Okay, 7:35.
We had difficulties this evening, so we had to change the hour. You know how that happens. You know what happens when anytime you get ready to put the word goes forth. There's always going to be distractions, but the devil
right,
is a liar.
Right. Well, it's good because I was right on time. I had Bible study with my church from 6:30 to 7:30, and so it worked out good this week.
Yeah. I would like to also, if I may say, taking a look at the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was actually in the New Testament. It's not actually stated at that. It's one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible. If you would take a look at weeping prophet Jeremiah, and you go over to chapter 20 and you read that, Jeremiah even said, he said he wasn't going to speak it no more. He said, but his word was in his heart. So that word that was in his heart is nothing but the Holy Ghost.
Right. But all through the Old Testament, contemporary teach that the Holy Spirit didn't come about until after Jesus' resurrection. But that's not true. Also, first book in the Bible, Genesis.
Yes.
We know that the Trinity was there. The Trinity was there, and that Ruha breath that was breathed over the surface of the earth was the Holy Spirit, the breath of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right, because it even says also in it said the Spirit moved upon the waters.
Amen.
So that was nothing but the Holy Spirit. You know, and
Amen.
Then even somewhere in the book of Leviticus, I think you touched on it at the beginning of the broadcast, when it was actually talking, please ignore my phone in the background ringing. It was actually talking about the first fruits. And if you talk about the first fruit, and it talked about Christ raising up from the dead, all of that was actually done 50 days, as you mentioned, and the number 50 in the Bible actually means Holy Spirit.
Amen. Hey, so you know what? The Lord has so many clues. And one of the things that gets me, and like when you study the Old Testament, it's like I don't understand why the Jews don't believe it, because there were clues all through the Old Testament of what was to come, and you see that Jesus fulfills all of them. And so it's just perplexing for me. I don't understand why they don't get it, but of course they need the Holy Spirit probably to understand. Amen. Amen. So the Old Testament,
well,
a foreshadow
a lot of their teaching back then. You can get a good understanding of that through Paul. Because Paul was actually going to persecute the church. And Paul actually studied with them. Because Paul actually was actually a Jew, and he was a Jew, and his name and his home was Saul. But where he was born, he had the street name Paul. So in the street, he was known as Paul when he was growing up, and in the home, he was known as Saul, and they did not believe and a suffering, dying Messiah. They believe that someone else will come and take action. So that's the main reason why they don't think Jesus is the Christ. They're looking for somebody to come in and tear stuff up. And they're still looking for it to today.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Any more comments before we get ready to close out?
Elijah asked Elijah for a double portion, Elijah's spirit. So the spirit was there in 2 Kings.
Yeah, so Elijah
and
wanted
in
a
2 Kings 2:9.
Probably like a first child portion. There you go back with the first fruits again. Like a first child portion, which would have been like a governing portion, like 60%. Rather than an equal portion of 50%, and he wanted and Elijah was later recognized as carrying Elijah's mantle, that he had the same anointing on him that Elijah had, because the Holy Spirit, transference from Elijah to Elijah. Amen.
Amen.
Man, we'd like to thank Dr. Suzanne Hawthorne, Clay, for the word this evening as she spoke on the Pentecost. And I'd like to add that, you know, with the Holy Spirit, if you look it up, it's mentioned 9 times, and you would probably see it more in the Synoptic Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The thing that we have to recognize with the Holy Spirit is that if anyone speaks against the Holy Spirit, that is considered a blasphemy. It is blasphemy that is against the Holy Spirit, and that is the unforgivable sin. That is the unforgivable sin. So we'd like to thank her for sharing with us this evening. Thank you for tuning. We'd like to invite you back next week at 7 o'clock p.m. We're sorry for the technical difficulties, but you know what God always goes through. We're going to be placing this on our Facebook page and making sure that we listen and that everything is correct before we do put it on Facebook. But you will be able to get the whole teaching on Facebook. We thank you. Remember, we love you, but God.